Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on the fabulous AmericanFreedomRadio.com from the miraculously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the Fukushima-irradiated sunny slave South Pacific, where everybody's lucky enough to snap up a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb to help the economy. A very special guest today, who comes on every 2 weeks, is Christopher Green from Green Wave Radio Live. Welcome to the show, Chris.
As serious as a nosebleed, Vinny. Great to be here, my friend.
You're as serious as stage four cancer, bro. Which means as soon as you realize that Chris Green's broadcasting, you got to really do something about it, you know? Increase your uptake of green wave nutrients and detox yourself from mainstream media. Have you noticed that, Chris? Everything's about balance.
It is everything. That's for sure. And you need balance. You know, we were talking about sitting down isn't good for our bodies. You know, so many of us are sitting down. Even with what we do, we're sitting down in front of computers. We're not really moving. It's not good for our health. In fact, there was a report out I read yesterday that said even those that are in really good shape that work out regularly, there's severe health effects or consequences for sitting in a chair too long. Maybe we should start doing push-ups or something in between the breaks, pull-ups, something like that.
Well, I've got a couple of weights underneath my desk here, and that might actually be an idea. You know, just do a set every break, and by the end of the show, I've done 6 sets of 12. So that would actually be like what 70? That'd be 72 reps of weights in any given show. That could actually keep me quite healthy, don't you think?
I think so. I see a lot of people. I was mentioning to you they'll walk on treadmills now as they're working on their laptops. I've seen that. I think that's kind of cool. I see people sitting in these ergonomically refined chairs, or like they'll cycle while they're working and checking emails or typing up a report or working on a spreadsheet or something like that. So I don't know. I mean, we just need to there needs to be balance. And that's what brought it up. And, you know, and in my mind is, you know, it's a good time too. The holiday season right now, this is an important time to have a balance of family, friends, you know, disengage a little bit too, you know, from the hard truths that we're digging at 24/7. In fact, I notice every year, December especially, the last few weeks, honestly, viewership goes down by pretty big numbers just because people are tuned out. They honestly just don't like tuning in to what unfortunately is the truth around this time of year. Yeah, honestly, I think that's kind of good, though. I think we do need balance. I mean, you can't just hit yourself over the head 24/7 and expect that to be healthy. So, I mean, kinds of things, you know, raise your blood pressure. You know, the further you dig down the rabbit hole, the more difficult life can become at sometimes.
I was just thinking, when I was on your show the previous hour, I came in and the chat room was like at about the 40 to 50 mark of people, And by the time of the end of our hour, it was down to like 17. And I was thinking about this. What were we talking about during that hour, Chris? We were talking about how most people won't actually get off their ass and do anything. And they got offended, I think, and dropped out because they don't want people to tell them to do anything and obligate them in any way. You know? Well, that's a theory of mine, and I don't want to disparage your audience, man, because in my opinion, it's one of the best, brightest, and actually kind of cool, freedom-loving audiences that I've ever seen in terms of the things that go on in the chat room. But that's my real beef about the world, is that you can tell people to do the right thing, and they'll think that you're wrong and go off doing the wrong thing.
Right. The fact that people in general are complacent and too comfortable is frustrating. I mean, I talk about it all the time. People, they say they want freedom, but most people actually don't. They're not willing to sacrifice for it. What they really want is comfort, not true freedom. For freedom, there's sacrifice. And a lot of people have shed blood, so we have the very little freedom that we have today. Are Americans today the same caliber as Americans of previous generations, the great majority? Honestly, I would say no. I hate to say that, but I would say no. Honestly, I think old America had more guts, balls, brawn, and was willing to shed blood for what they believed in. Today, people yell at me and get pissed off when I make comments about, you know, people being droned out on video games and Hollywood movies. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with playing video games or even watching a movie from time to time. But for that to consume your life and be an all-consuming part of it, literally, it'll get violent reactions from people like, how dare you tell me that my, you know, favorite Xbox, like I'm a gamer, and you know, how dare you make that comment or that statement? So I don't know. I think what's frustrating is just the complacency of people. You know, large portions of America especially are fat and too comfortable. I mean, physically fat as well. I mean, take a look at our nation. Let's just be honest with ourselves. It's like we've just been all sitting around gorging for years, financially, economically, physically. And you know what? We're going to pay the price for that. America's going to pay the price for gross mismanagement, massive debt, these kinds of things. We're going to pay a price for that. That's why the economy has collapsed. That's why we have what we have today. That's why the housing markets collapsed. That's why the stock market crashed in 2008. But people don't want to change. You know, it's like telling an alcoholic, like, hey, buddy, you got a real problem. I love you. Please get some help and check yourself into Betty Ford before you kill yourself or, God forbid, kill somebody else. And they just stare at you and they're like, you know what? They give you the middle finger. They're like, I'm going to keep drinking because I'm a selfish prick and I just want to keep consuming alcohol. And you're just like, all right, whatever. There's going to be consequences to it. And then they go out and they're driving drunk one night coming from the bar, and they kill a family of four, and then they end up going to jail for manslaughter for the rest of their life or something like that. I mean, there are consequences to your actions. There's consequences to your behavior, and we've been gorging ourselves here in America with the thought that I like to think, you know, they say we're the greatest country in the world. Maybe we were. I'll give it credit where it was due, but not anymore. We're not. Fat, way too comfortable, and the people just sheep. Honestly, it's a very crude way of looking at it, but most people, are they going to revolt? Hell no.
Yeah. Now, think about this. You go tell somebody to take personal responsibility. Can you force them to do it? No. That's why it's called personal responsibility. Likewise, can you take personal responsibility for anybody else? No, because it's personal responsibility. You can only do it for yourself. And that's what these people don't get. And I don't like bashing people, Chris. I don't like saying to truthers, look, bro, You may be on the right path, but you haven't activated yet. I mean, look in a typical morning schedule, what do you do after you wake up? You get out of bed. A lot of these people have woken up, but they haven't gotten out of bed yet. they haven't gone to work against the New World Order yet, have they? They're still lying in bed listening to their alarm clock going off and just going, oh, I'll just press the snooze button and maybe I'll get up. And then by the time you actually do get out of bed, it's already too late and you're late for work and you wind up getting reprimanded and da-da-da-da-da. You know, the metaphor works. And I come to the conclusion, you can't wake anybody up. You know, I can't wake people up. People come to you and say, oh, you woke me up to this, that, and the other. And it's just like, really? I did? Did you just listen to one show that I did about a particular topic and think that that's woken you up about it? Or did you listen to my show and other shows and many different YouTube documentaries and videos and all of that kind of stuff in order to create a broad-based knowledge of whatever topic it is we're actually discussing here? Well, yes, you did. Did I force you to do that? Did I wake you up? You did it for yourself. But what I'm saying here is you've got to cross the Rubicon. Once you know that there is a big river in front of you that you've got to cross, you have to cross it. You don't really have much of a choice. Hell, you may get swept away with the current. You may drown. But you don't have a choice. You can't stand here on the shore because you're just going to die of thirst. That's basically my perspective. You either live free and do the right thing and die a happy person knowing that you've done the right thing. Or you can see other people doing the right thing and do nothing, assuming that somebody else is going to save your ass. Nobody's going to save you. You have to save yourself.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, Vin. You know, we were talking about earlier in the show, you know, the power structure wants to create chaos at times, you know, to push the nation and to push global economies a certain direction, or maybe they have an objective of war or something like that. So they're going to manipulate the situation. But we talked about, I thought, you know, something interesting where, you know, you've got all these people within the truth, freedom, liberty movement. Why don't they just get rid of all these people? You know, why don't they just get rid of us? And we really didn't have a very good answer to that. And I always like to think outside of the box because I'm somebody that I just like to ask questions. So I'm constantly asking questions and questioning even what I think. And maybe the reason for that, is it possible, and this is a little bit out of the box, is it possible that we're the controlled opposition, Vinny, but we don't even know it?
Hey, anything's possible. Flying spaghetti monsters through space who will land on Earth and suck human brains out of your ears with silly straws is possible. Might not be probable, and we probably don't have any evidence, but it doesn't mean that it's impossible. You know what I'm saying? And I was just thinking about this. You know, you kind of get all preachy when you're in a position like this, don't you? You know, by proxy, it's like I've done all this and I've exposed scumbaggery and blah 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 blah. You just wonder to yourself, Am I being a douchebag here? Am I telling everybody else that they're useless by comparison to me because I'm doing more for the truth movement than them and blah, 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 blah? Just wondering, you know, how long does it take me before I do so much good that I become the bad guy?
Well, one of the people I looked up to the most or have looked up to the most in my life was a coach that I had who said, just always be humble. That's what he always told me. He said, you know, no matter how good of an athlete you might be the Michael Jordan of the sporting world, but just be humble about it. And, you know, I think that's good advice. I mean, in a lot of respects, maybe in all respects, really people like yourself and me really are just messengers on behalf of the movement itself. It doesn't make us more special or more important or self-important in any way. We're the messengers. We have the platform and we speak on behalf of the people at times when they can't. Because maybe, you know, let's look at it this way too, Vinny. There's a lot of people that maybe can't speak out the way they want to. I mean, maybe they're living under a more totalitarian regime than we are. They'll be killed, beheaded for speaking out against the system, or maybe they don't have a voice. So, you know, I like to think that we're that voice. And that's what I actually think is really amazing about new media in general, or the media as it's become, is all the stories and emails that, you know, we'll get on a daily basis, of people dripping content, stories, what's happening in their respective country, things that they care about. We're the voice, bottom line. And it's, you know, as we've talked about many times before, it's with that comes a responsibility to the public. And always be humble. I think that's really good advice.
Yeah. I consider my audience to be my employer, basically. They pay me. They give me food. They help me fix my car when it's broken down. And at the moment, my bank accounts are just dry, and it's coming up to Christmas, and I'm just really... I'm feeling like crap, Chris. You know, I just want to have enough money so I can actually have a nice Christmas. I want to be able to just pay for gas so I can go up to my sister's place up north on the farm and stay there for a week or two and just relax with my family. And I can't afford it, you know. And I'd have to rely on my missus to spend money that she doesn't have, and she's been sick the last 2 days. With something we don't know what it is, and it all kind of gets too much. And when people kind of hear me saying these sorts of things, and I hear this coming out of the mouths of many people, oh, the situation's real bad or whatever. It just sounds like I'm whinging, you know, like I'm kind of accepting the situation and being miserable about it. And I guess to an extent I am. It's just, I don't actually really want to be doing this. I don't want to have to get up every day and go onto an unpaid radio show, busting my hump, going on many other different radios. Every single show that I do, it takes about the same length of the show itself to edit it and start it uploading, you know, so... if I did, say, 4 hours radio yesterday, that turns into an extra 4 hours plus of editing work on top of it, so it's an 8-hour day. If I do 5 hours radio, it's a 10-hour day. The week before Thanksgiving, I did two shows, 2 days. One, I did 5 hours. One, I did 7 hours. And it was just absolutely exhausting. And you get very little back for it in terms of monetary compensation. Everybody says, you know, great, good on you, keep doing what you're doing, but they don't help you. It's really sad. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com in financial crisis. Donate on the homepage, please, if you can. We'll be right back. Back.
We are back. I am Christopher Green. This is the Vinny Eastwood Show. We're bringing Vinny Eastwood back onto the program here. I hope that the global power structure just didn't get to him because it looked like I wiped out his internet connection a few minutes ago. We had the producers working on bringing him back to the program. If you haven't already, make sure to tune in to Vinny. Tune into him on YouTube, Mr. News Guerrilla Media. You can also check him out online. And, you know, please help him out. You know, it's a tough time for everybody. But you know what? Vinny does a fantastic show a lot of this stuff he doesn't get paid to do. And really, if it weren't for the donations and the support of our loyal audience and his community, this type of programming wouldn't exist. So please donate, support Vinny Eastwood, help him out this holiday season. And Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, everybody. I see that you're back, Vinny. I know we lost you there for a minute. I thought maybe the global oligarchs had gotten to you.
Nah, it's the Skype call recorder. So I do webcam on the show every day. And every now and again, when you stop the recording after a break and come back in from break and press re-record, it'll actually just crash the whole Skype for about 10 seconds, and then I have to wait for it to reboot, which takes longer than it takes to crash, incidentally. I got this appreciation for the listeners in that, essentially, without their magnanimous and generous support, you know, I wouldn't be able to do, say, the show tomorrow or the next day or the day after that. The one thing I fear above all other things, I actually fear this more than being killed. You know, I think being killed would be a welcome relief at some points, but the thing that I fear the most, Chris, is being forced back into the workforce. Having to get a job, slave job, with some douchebag, selling some stuff that doesn't matter, and wasting my life away, sitting in an office somewhere, or driving around and talking to these pieces of trash business owners or whatever, who don't give a crap about me or what I'm selling or anything like that, who feel they can be rude. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that ever again. I don't know how long it's going to take before I've got enough money to just survive and don't have to, like, literally come out and freaking beg for donations. You know, that's essentially what I'm doing. I've got my hand out here, I'm begging, but I'm not just a bum on the street who's doing nothing and demanding that you give me a dollar or something like that. I'm going out and I'm doing what the mainstream media should be doing, and they're getting paid 100 grand a year or so, or something like that, these big fancy pay packages and what have you, and I'm blitzing them by myself. Mm-hmm. And I need some kind of compensation for that. I really do. I just want to be, in a way, comfortable enough so that I don't have to freaking live hand to mouth anymore. It's so frustrating. I'm sick of living in poverty. You know, I've been living in it for like a good 6 years. I remember the first 3 years of going out and doing videos pretty much on a daily basis, and filming activists giving insider whistleblower details and da-da-da-da-da when I had, like, no audience and what have you. I wasn't able to buy myself so much as a coffee at a cafe for 4 years, Chris. That's how broke I was.
Yeah, and it's a lot of sacrifice.
I'm getting back into that broke-ass mode now. During Christmas of all times, which makes it doubly depressing. So if you can support me, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a dollar, $2, $500, even better, donate it now. Go to the hotel page. It's Monopoly. Yeah. Go to the homepage of thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. There's a little video there as well. I provide a public service, essentially, and I mentioned this on your show earlier about how somebody accuses me of being a Jew lover and how I'm ignoring the genocide of the white race and da 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 da. And I said to this dude, bro, you don't even listen to my show. You don't know what I talk about and what I don't talk about. So shut the frack up. I offer everybody the possibility of sending me the email or the contact details of any kind of a guest that they would like me to interview. And sure enough, I'll interview that person if they're willing to come on and talk about it, that is. So instead of actually sending me any details or anything like that, he just abuses me again. And I said to him previously, look, bro, you can do something constructive, and if you want me to talk about a topic that you don't think that I've talked about, how about you just give me somebody to talk about it with who knows what the heck is going on? I don't know about the extermination of the white race. I know that every race is being exterminated, particularly blacks. Have whites had 80 million babies aborted since the beginning of Planned Fracking Parenthood? The biggest genocide secretly perpetrated on the black population of America in fracking history? Has that happened to the white people? No. So let's think about this. If you've got a problem with me, don't accuse me of anything. Don't do it. Why? Because, dude, you're basically taking a shot in the dark, aiming at your own foot. It's just that simple. And I wonder why people have that that insinuating, accusatory tone with somebody they could otherwise actually help and or would help them. You know, they're not interested in making friends. So I was just like, okay, thank you very much for your response. Block. There's about 7 billion other people that I could be hanging out with right now instead of you, douchebag. Frack off. Huh? Get these poisonous scum out of your life.
Yeah, well, you got to take, you know, criticism with a grain of salt, and you can't please everybody, and there's always going to be detractors. But the thing that I think is kind of funny about it is I think it's the detractors are some of your biggest fans. You know, it's like the Howard Stern syndrome. They hate you, but they love you. And they literally, they just can't stop tuning in. So I've always thought about it from the perspective, you only have to worry, Vinny, if you look at your page or your YouTube videos or your, you know, website and there are no comments. That's when you start worrying. But if you're inciting a response, positive or negative, people are thinking, commenting, ridiculing you, maybe even antagonizing you, you must be doing something right. In fact, I think the better you get at what you do, the more of that you're going to face. And it's funny, I'll even have subscribers say, hey, Chris, you must be doing something right because the trolls are out again. And that, you know, you're just going to get that, especially in our form of media that isn't incredibly poppy, or, you know, this isn't pop culture. This isn't TMZ. We're not talking about the, you know, latest swimsuit Kim Kardashian has on her ass, although I know people find that stuff interesting. But you're going to be... yeah, you're gonna be ridiculed and all that. You just kind of have to, embrace it for what it is a little bit, which I think you do.
I don't know. It's just you try to find your place in the world, and you find that a lot of people don't appreciate it and attack you for doing the right thing. Isn't that interesting? And it's like, what's your motivation, buddy? Is your motivation to stop everybody everywhere from doing what they know and believe to be the right thing and attack them for doing so? Okay. Well, if you were king of the world, how much of a more horrible, dark, and disgusting place would it be?
Dark.
You know, I don't know what to say. You know, I'm at a loss for words here. I work real hard, and well, it's not real hard kind of thing in terms of an actual challenge to do radio show after radio show and be on, like, I've nearly been on nearly 200 other shows, Chris. You know, when you go to some people's websites and they say, I've been on NBC, I've been on Fox, I've been on this radio show, I've been on that radio show, and they've got maybe about half a dozen or something like that of decent-sized proportion shows that they've been on. And I was just thinking about this. I need to take screenshots and logo descriptions of every single other radio talk show that I've been on in the Truth Movement and in the mainstream media as well, and put them all together and just go, this is Vinny Eastwood, okay? Been on 200 other shows. Listen to them, because there's a reason why people invite me on. It's because usually I'm the one doing the inspiring. I'm the one doing making the jokes and making everybody else happy. The problem is that it's I had this theory that I was kind of like an infinite happiness and scumbaggery exposing generating machine of whatever. You know, nothing's going to bring me down, crazy crackers. But the problem is, mate, it's a lot harsher than I even give myself freaking credit for. You know, it's
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot on people's minds, you know, including yours and mine in our audience, too. You're closing out the end of the year, too. I mean, there's been a lot of challenges the past few years. I mean, these are trying times around the world. I don't care if you're in America or New Zealand or anywhere. There's a lot of people struggling. I mean, you know, I get tons of emails. People write me personal letters that I'll respond to, and they'll just tell me what's going on in their life. And, you know, it's, I guess there's no way to beat around the bush. I mean, like I've said for the past 3 years now, I mean, we are living through a depression. This isn't the decades past where, you know, we had this huge expansion in credit and in business that, you know, the baby boomers were lucky to be a part of, you know. And I don't take it away from anything that the baby boomers created. And a lot of these people are some of the hardest people and hardest working people I've ever met in my life. And people, you know, their parents, like my grandfather, he was, you know, I think 13 at the time when he was the man of the house and literally sold oranges, literally on the street during the Great Depression to make ends meet. So, you know, being faced with these kind of challenges or trials isn't unique to you and I or those people listening in our audience. I mean, things have been relatively really good the past 30, 40 years, especially in America and pretty much, you know, most of the free world. But there's that reversion to the mean that I talk about a lot. And, you know, economically, we're bankrupt. So we know that's not going to end well. We've got, how many times do we mention the statistics? 45 million plus people here in America on food stamps. Millions of other people on unemployment benefits soon to run out. What's going to happen to all these people when the government stops paying them? You know, are they going to be too comfortable to revolt? And that's where I see more of kind of the chaos ensuing is you've got a lot of people that are comfortable soon to become uncomfortable. It's, you know, that's not a good situation for a nation to be in, for the planet to be in. And I just think, too, a lot of this is just weighing heavy on our minds and hearts because it is the end of the year. And let's face facts, people, with the holidays, with Christmas, whatever it is you celebrate, there's a lot of pressure within families, among friends, maybe people that are operating more in the paradigm. Maybe they, you know, they're not exactly on the radio every day like you are, Vinny, or maybe, you know, I am. And there's pressure to buy presents and you know, interact with, you know, all these people in that way. And, you know, it could be a tough time for not just us, but for really all people. But I do think that, you know, just like you've seen so many good things happen the past few years, Vinny, there's light at the end of the tunnel, brother. All the work you've done, the 200 plus shows you've been on will pay off, you know, in more ways than you can imagine, and not just monetarily, although that will come. And that's something I found just even in personal experience is when you're worried about the money, it's like going to a casino or down to Vegas, playing, betting scared. You always lose. Always. But if you don't care about the money and you're really not focused on it, you somehow win. And, you know, sometimes you just kind of have to have, like we were talking about earlier, a religious faith that things are going to work out. I would just keep focused on what you're passionate about. I would maintain high-level productivity. But I'd also get some rest being December, you know, being the end of the year. I'd also realize, too, I think about this myself, you know, viewership goes down the last 2 weeks of the year. Get some rest if you need it. I'm sure you need, I know I need it. I mean, these have been a tough few years, right?
Oh, there is no way that I'm working the last 2 weeks of this year, man. Okay, like, you know, Christmas, my birthday on the 29th, and New Year's Eve, and that kind of thing. I don't want to be working during that time. I want to be off. I want to spend time with my family. I want to recharge my batteries. The problem is, I'm too broke to do it.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after the break with Christopher Green from Greenwave Radio Live in just a few minutes. Donate now at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
The world you knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our standards have gone with us.
When you
conditions which frame it and hold us our standards have gone. The world we knew is gone.
It's gone. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The world you knew is gone. It's a sad state of affairs. And I was just thinking about this. I was talking with my producer over the break, Chris. And I was thinking that my head's full of all this negativity right now. And because my head's full of negativity, my body is full of negativity. And I feel like crap, you know? So I was just thinking to myself, man, my producer is such a good guy. He's always out there. He's trying to raise money for me. He's trying to get me good guests and trying to get me working in collaborative partnerships with, say, Pete Santilli from the Pete Santilli Show, now on American Freedom Radio. And I want to give big ups to Danny Romero for giving him that slot and what have you. And you know what? I just said, you know, man, we work so fracking well together. I gave him a high five and a big hug, and I said, man, I love you, man. And that's what I really want to do with you, Chris, and so many of these other people who come on the show and what have you. I just want to say I love you, man, and give you a high five and a hug. You know what I'm saying?
Right back at you, brother. Well, yeah, absolutely. And look, dude, 2013 is going to be a big year. I mean, look, we got to get prepared and excited about this and what's to come. I mean, honestly, it's kind of the calm before the storm. But this is a time. Let's recharge. You got to recharge the batteries. You got to get. You centered. You got to find a center within yourself. You got to, you know, make sure you're firing on all cylinders. Make sure you're healthy. You know, make sure you're working out. You're getting exercise. You're going for a jog. Going for a walk. Make sure you're spiritually in tune with what's going on. Because, hey, we're gonna need it, and we've got a lot of work to do coming up this year. So right back at you, Vinny. Lots of love, brother.
Mm-mm. Well, that's what we're gonna do, man. You the mind makes real. What you want. So this is my reality. I'm surrounded constantly by people who love me and send me messages of support. But you know what's interesting? I very rarely reply. You know, like somebody will say, Vinny, keep up the good work, or Vinny, you're onto it, da, 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 da. And I very rarely reply to those. It's usually only the people who come in and say, "Vinny, you're a douchebag, and you're never going to accomplish anything. You'll never amount to anything." Those are the people who I respond to, you know, and just say, "Well, actually, da 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 da, etc. You're wrong," and I spend all my time putting real effort into telling people that they're wrong about me, rather than saying, "Thank you so much, and I love you," and give you a high five to all the people who actually do have the right idea. It's like, stupid, Vinny. Why the frack are you doing that?
You know exactly. Yeah, you know, if you gotta. You got to focus on positivity. Take the criticism, and you know you can read the opinions, etc. But do you have to respond to it? No, and you don't have to focus on it either. And I want it because it's just a part. There's always going to be detractors. It's just a part of what we do, what you do, and the very controversial nature of digging for the truth and sharing that with the world. So. You know, you just, you of all people have to remain incredibly positive at all times. And it's tough to do. It's tough to see sometimes because, you know, we report on a lot of negative stories. We talk about a lot of things that weigh very heavy on the heart. I mean, I was doing a story on the NFL, Jovan Belcher, who murdered his girlfriend. I don't know if you heard about that, but I did that story yesterday. And it's like, these are horrible stories. You know, I mean, people are losing their minds and putting, you know, bullets in their loved ones in front of their mother. And, you know, people all across the NFL are like, hey, why did he do it? And we can't believe this guy we hold up on a pedestal would do something so tragic, etc. So you just got to choose. And I think you were kind of talking to this a little bit. You know, you've got to be careful what kind of frame of mind you're in. And if for some reason you're out of balance or out of whack, maybe it's because you're not taking care of yourself properly. You know, maybe you're not getting enough exercise, enough sleep. You're under too much stress. Those kinds of things. And it's tough to find a balance, but you need to have one. I think that's excellent advice for all people. So I strive for that. Do I do that all the time? I wish it was the case, but no. A lot of the times I'm struggling to find my own personal balance, but It's all possible, Vinny.
My perspective on that is balance is the being able to swing to either extreme and still be able to come back to the center again. Right?
Yeah.
So you can be extremely happy or extremely sad, but eventually you go straight back into the middle again where you're neither ridiculously happy or ridiculously sad. You're just kind of going along and just going, yeah, you know what? Stuff ain't that bad. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of some story I heard about Donald Trump. He was real depressed and huge amounts of debt. And he was walking along to the Brooklyn Bridge. He was going to throw himself off. And this homeless veteran with no legs who was pushing himself along on a skateboard with his hands selling pencils goes up to Mr. Trump and he says, Mr. Trump, please buy a pencil. Please buy a pencil. And Trump's like, no, I'm not going to buy a pencil, man. Just keeps walking along the bridge. Guy keeps coming after him, you know, on this little skateboard. He says, Mr. Trump, please buy a pencil. So he says, you know, well, all right then. Pulls out like a big note or whatever, like a $50 or $100 bill, gives it to this guy and takes a pencil off him. And the guy says to him, Mr. Trump, you've given me too much money. And Mr. Trump just keeps walking. And he keeps following him. And he says, Mr. Trump, you've given me too much money. I need to give you some change. And about halfway across the bridge, Donald realized, life ain't that bad. I'm not going to commit suicide.
Well, hey, man, it's, we all, I don't know what you believe or, you know, what people in our audience necessarily believe, but I mean, it all comes to an end at some point anyway, right? I mean, struggling is a part of the human condition. It's a part of being human. And I think it's how you handle it that kind of makes the difference, or I'm kind of searching for words here a little bit, but it's how you handle the difficulties and the challenges and what's hard, I think, that defines you. Not when things are great, not when things are really good and you're comfortable, but when you're uncomfortable, when you're not sure how you're going to make your next rent payment, let's say, or you don't know how you're going to have enough money for food, in a few days, or you lose a loved one, maybe somebody you love dies or something like that. I think it's how you handle those kinds of things and your approach to that that defines you. Because it's easy, when things are good, it's easy to overlook, a lot of your problems. It's easy to overlook your imperfections, etc. But when the shit hits the fan, then all of a sudden, you'll see this in relationships too. All of a sudden, people get a divorce. We've seen this even recently with the economic crash. People losing their jobs. Husband loses his job. All of a sudden, he's not the successful mortgage broker he once was or something like that. And all of a sudden, a marriage that worked before doesn't work anymore. Why? Why did things suddenly change? And I think what happens is when we're going through trial, tribulation, these kinds of things, the real truth is exposed about your relationships, about yourself, who you really are. And I think it's an opportunity for personal growth. It's a learning experience, and there are things that will make you stronger if you're able to overcome them, which is difficult to do. And, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help, too. I think a lot of us are afraid to ask for help. And I know even myself at times, like, you just almost don't want to ask for help. You know, I don't know if it's pride or what it necessarily is, but don't be afraid to ask for help. I mean, look at the amazing community that supports you, Vinny. For example, you know, ask your audience for help. Don't feel sorry about it. If you need help and you need people to donate to your program and your show to continue what you're doing, well, you know, ask these people for help. And, you know, you can't feel, there's no reason to feel bad about that. I mean, you bring incredible value to the world and to your audience, our audience, my audience. And these are things to feel good about. I mean, I think this is where we're seeing a lot of these changes now. This is how the world can really change for the better. Support those people and support the change that you want in the world. And the more that we do that, the more we focus on what's good, what's moral, what's right, the better the world can be, I think. And it's an amazing opportunity. So I'm appreciative of the work you do, Vinny.
Well, you know, a lot of people are. And then, well, hold on a second. Let me see if I can just kind of... Let's do an exercise here. We're going to get about 30 seconds in the show, and I want to thank you, Chris, for being on. So I'm just going to do something with the audience today. Close your eyes, unless you're driving. And even then, maybe it might be a good idea because you don't have to see the huge amount of traffic that you're stuck in. But just think for a moment. Everything is going to be fine. All your people in your life, your friends and your family and your lover, be it may the case, are all going to pull through these terrible, depressing times much better people than they were before. And you need not worry. You need not stress. You only need to stay alive in your head and in your heart and understand that the value of those people around you is far greater than you by yourself, and you are not alone. And everybody will show up to support you when you really need it, provided you actually ask for help and are humble enough to actually accept people offer. Listen to the Vinny Axel Show. My very special guest is me, Christopher Green. In the second hour, I don't really have much of a guest, so we'd like people to call in to 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. And you can check out Christopher Green's program at greenwave.com. It's green with an E on the end. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on the miraculously awesome AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's the American dream. You have to be asleep to believe it, or living in New Zealand. My very special guest today has been going through hell, and I had a look at him on the webcam, and he looks like it too. His name is James Wright. From facebook.com/OccupyFreeMasonry. Well, James, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny. Always a pleasure.
Well, and you know,
compliment. The way I look, woof, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's just get straight into it there, because I haven't had the chance to listen to, in fact, I haven't listened to either of those audio recordings you sent me. The first one I made into a video straight away and put it up without even listening to it. And the same with this newest audio recording that you just sent to me this morning. I haven't had a chance to listen to it, so I want you to give us a recap and also kind of bring the audience up to speed with what's happening to you right now.
Right. Okay. Well, the first one that I sent you, let's see, that's been about 3 weeks ago, and what it was the Grand Lodge of Texas calling. Well, not call. They contacted me on Facebook because they knew of no other way to establish communication with me, and requested that I call. And the gentleman that did so, I had no reason to believe. You know, I had known him from my dealings at the Scottish Rite 2 years ago, and the fact that he even contacted me, I'm thinking, what, did somebody die? You know, why would this guy be contacting me? So I called him, and it was basically to tell me that, you know, my presence is required at this Masonic trial coming up and blah, blah, blah. And they wanted to know an address on me, and I refused to give it, and therefore refused to accept this so-called, you know, Masonic summons to a Masonic trial. And so he took note of all those things, and that was that conversation. The one today was the same thing, a message saying, you know, to call, and so I did, and it was to inform me that, you know, they have set a trial date, and, you know, blah, 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 and I informed them that I will be going under the condition that I am allowed to take private security personnel and the press with me. And he, being the district deputy grand master, the one who phoned both of these occasions, and then again today, did not quite know what to say to that. So he said he would, I'm paraphrasing, you know, he would check into it and get back to me. But I can pretty much assure you the answer is already going to be they are not going to allow that, because there's been a similar case in Kentucky where a brother was persecuted and he showed up with the press there locally and they shut the whole thing down. So that's that end of things. In the meantime, since I returned to Texas 2 months ago, I came down, I bypassed Dallas. I refused to live there anymore since that's the Masonic capital of the planet. And I came on down to central South Texas, kind of, you know, did a big circle around, visited friends, loved ones, and I certainly know my way around down here. It's my old stomping grounds. And I settled in San Marcos. Well, I suddenly became smitten out of nowhere with a new budding romance, and that seemed to take off very well. He was from a pretty prominent family, a Masonic family, even though he said he was not one. And, you know, I went through everything in terms of, like, meet the parents and all that. And his father is the mayor of a city in central Texas that I'm not going to name because God only knows what the ramifications of that would be. So the romance continues. And then all of a sudden, about a week ago, I wake up one morning to a person that I didn't even know who it was. Complete change of personality. It scared the hell out of me, literally. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things where it's who you think it is in terms of who you're looking at, but the voice was different, the attitude was different, the personality was different, and the reason he was trying so hard to start a fight this particular morning, whoever this was, was according to him, he did not want, quote, these people in his life anymore. And of course, given the circumstances and what I do and everything, you know, I'll give you three guesses as to who these people refer to. And so that was the reason. And I was led to believe, you know, that he had suffered some sort of threat to his job or, you know, whatever. I can speculate, but there's no point. But then I find out that, no, that was not the case at all. I did my homework and called in a couple favors to some places. And as it turns out, he is an NSA agent, as in National Security Agency. Now, I say agent, I don't know for sure whether he is a full-blown agent in terms of agent or if he is just sort of a contractor or middle of the road employee. I don't know.
Maybe not agent, maybe asset.
Asset. Good. Yes. Thank you, Vinny. So with that realization, I literally became sick to my stomach. I suffered a very serious bout of nausea for a couple days over the fact that I had been sleeping next to this person, you know, for a while, and was totally, the whole thing was one big piece of theater, obviously, it was nothing, so you can imagine the sorts of things that have been going through my mind, and as a result, I sent out a sort of a SOS to some friends, and right now, I am with friends being hidden out in the mountains of deep southwest Texas near Mexico. And the property I'm on is patrolled by several cowboys with rifles and Rottweilers, and I am extremely safe. That's the good news. But the bad news is they've really hit me hard this time, and I've been through every emotion in the book this past week, and my doctor's got me on some medication for anxiety, and I just, you know, it's time to regroup, and I'm mad as hell, and, you know, I'm nearing completion of the next book. I'm really going to vet them like never before. This time, they've just, they've effectively gone and they've hit a hornet's nest with a baseball bat is what they've really done. And, you know, they at least with this NSA operation, whatever it was, got me down, thought they got me isolated, thought they compromised my finances, but I'm pretty resilient. And even though I'm pretty much broke at the moment, I am, like I said, safe. That's what matters. So I am pleading with everyone listening to just get the word out. These are the men. These are your Illuminati. And this is the type of things they do to someone that they believe, in their own words, not mine, is their personal property, and that I should return to them for some bizarre punishment because of my Masonic oath violations in bringing all this information out. And, of course, we all know what those Masonic penalties are. So that's
what medication. What medication has your doctor got you on, bro?
Xanax.
Xanax, how do you spell that? X-A-N-A-X?
Yes.
So, Xanax side effects. From drugs.com. Let's have a look. Now, normally I whenever anybody's on a medication, firstly thing that you do is you have a look at the side effects. So let me see if any of these jump out at you, mate. Depressed moods, thought of suicide or hurting yourself, unusual risk-taking behavior, decreased inhibitions, no fear of danger, confusion, hyperactivity, agitation, hostility, hallucinations, feelings like you might pass out, urinating less than usual or not at all, chest pain, pounding heartbeats or fluttering in your chest, uncontrolled muscle movements, tremor, seizure, convulsions, jaundice, which is a yellowing of the skin or eyes, drowsiness, dizziness, feeling tired or irritable, blurred vision, headache, memory problems, trouble concentrating, sleep problems and insomnia, swelling in your hands and feet, muscle weakness, lack of balance or coordination, slurred speech, upset stomach, nausea, vomiting, constipation, diarrhea, increased sweating, dry mouth, stuffy nose, appetite or weight changes, loss of interest in sex. Any of those jumping out at you, bro?
The only one that you mentioned was the last one, the loss of interest in sex.
And you're saying that you're feeling nauseous and stuff like that after the after you had this problem in your relationship. Yeah, were you on the Xanax then?
No. This has just been prescribed. It's only temporary. It's a very low dosage. It's doing one thing, which is keeping me from going into crying fits over the emotions of being under the impression that I was in a loving relationship, and yet it was a piece of Scottish Rite working in tandem with the NSA theater production. So,
Hey, and that was something both of us were suspicious about in the first place, and you were like hoping against hope that it wasn't the case, and now you found out that it is, and it's really thrown you for a loop, isn't it?
Yes, Vinny, you're always right. I can't debate that now.
Well, here's the thing, you know, we had a comment to the chat room, just smoke some weed and harden the frack up. And it's just like, I've got this real concern, and this is kind of why I brought you on the show, like, right now, today, because I saw there were, like, 19 messages from you, and last time I saw you kind of messaging me, that was such intensity, we had, like, a 3-4 hour conversation until, like, 3 or 4 in the morning kind of thing, and just talking about all this sort of stuff, and I made you feel better, so I want to do it again. Difficulty is, of course, you have a look at a lot of people in this world, and having a reality check isn't always the best thing, because sometimes being totally out of and detached from reality can actually spare you from some of its very, very harsh principles and shocking crap that happens to you during said reality. And this is what pharmaceutical drugs essentially do, is they take you out of reality in your own head.
Yes, I'm not claiming to be a big fan of pharma. This is only temporary because It was like every hour I was just breaking down and I couldn't deal with that. I need to have more productive thoughts in my head. And it's, you know, it's things are starting to roll and I've been inspired now because, in lieu of what's happened. So I've knocked out a couple more chapters on the book and it should be complete by the end of the month. And things are, you know, moving forward. The only thing that I wish was slightly different is that I wasn't currently having to be hiding out in the mountains, but you know what? It could be worse. It's absolutely beautiful out here. And it's a nice time and place for reflection.
Let me guess. You're out in nature in the fresh air and you've got good mates around you.
Yes.
Now that's a really good drug to have, man.
Yes, it is. I'm very blessed. And you know what? It was the power of the Truther community that even synchronistically made this all fall into place. So,
yeah, it's like I told you before, you know, you're not alone in all of this. As soon as you come out against the New World Order and scumbaggery, you suddenly realize that there's an enormous community out there who know about this sort of stuff and come out to support you, provided you ask for help. And sometimes you don't even need to verbally ask for help or even on the media or anything like that. It just comes to you like you're sending out these signals. But, you know, in other cases, it's quite literal, isn't it?
Well, yes. And this of all the times we've spoken, this would be the time that I need help the most. They've hit me hard. I mean, leading up to all this, they went and accosted my half-sister in Dallas. You know, tried to question her about my movements, whereabouts, and all that. She extended the proverbial middle finger to him. I found out now that a couple other of my closest, oldest friends in Dallas have also now been approached in the same fashion by these Scottish Rite men in black. I mean, it's reaching such a point of absurdity that, you know, the gloves are off. The gloves are now off. And the next book is not going to be pretty. So that's all I can
say. Maybe you're just channeling this kind of thing. It's like big wall of water of emotional terror and stress and pain is coming at you. So what you do is you build yourself a little aqueduct and you funnel all that power of all that water in this giant tsunami. And what you do is you use it to wash away all your inhibitions and get the fracking job done, mate.
Yes, that is the primary goal. The job must get done. They must be stopped or this will never end. And I'm not talking about just myself. I'm talking about Albert Pike and his three world wars, which are now coming to fruition. You go back and you read that document from 1871, World Wars 1 and 2 happened just to the letter of how he spelled it out. Now the world is entering this phase that he spelled out for World War III. It all goes back to the Scottish Rite. And I really am begging people, check out Occupy Freemasonry, check out the book. I'm begging you, get the word out, if nothing else, because this needs to have more attention drawn to it. The mainstream media has been told to hush about it. The alternative media obviously doesn't care about that, and I'm eternally grateful to the forces of nature and the universe for birthing the alternative media to make all this possible. But this is truly now the most dangerous phase. They've stooped to a new low. They've once again reached into my personal life and tried to attack me in such a way that almost maybe perhaps hoping that it makes me suicidal or something, you know, because of the relationship aspect that was involved. But I ain't suicidal. I'm madder than ever, and I have my resolve right now is stronger than it's been yet.
Well, you know, even though one's resolve might be strong, it doesn't mean the fact that you're just putting on a brave face for out of fragility, you know. Because that's my summation of you, James, is that you're really strong but very fragile, like plate glass. It's real hard to break plate glass, but once you go right through it, it shatters into a thousand pieces. And I'm just kind of, you know, putting duct tape all over you, you know, sort of thing, so that the hurricane winds that are battering you right now don't do that, essentially. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, my very special guest, is James Wright from facebook.com/OccupyFreemasonry. And we'll be right back after the break. Please donate at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com for reasons exactly like this. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I think it's quite an appropriate song, don't you think, James?
And nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to hide.
Hey, AFR, can we bring that feed down just a little bit? Oh, there we go. That's nice.
Either the song or somebody's watching me, you know, one of the two.
Yeah. Hey, it's so deep, you can't get over it. And I'm just like, just grabbing myself something to eat, a little bit of jam on bread. It's pretty much all we've got lying around the house. You know, it gets around dinner time or lunch time or whenever. And even, have you ever looked in the fridge and the fridge is full and yet you can see nothing to eat? Fucking annoying, eh? You just got to grab whatever the heck is there. It's kind of a good metaphor for life, don't you think, as well? You know, that we've got all this infinite opportunity and infinite possibility and what have you, and yet we can't find something to sustain ourselves. You know, it's really sad. And a lot of people, anyway. Yeah. Speaking of sustaining ourselves, I was mentioning to you, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm having my own financial crisis at this point. And the reason I want people to donate to me is because I make sure that people who are in trouble get the fracking help they need when they fracking need it. It doesn't matter. I'm not getting – James isn't giving me any cash. He can't really do an awful lot in order to help me in a lot of the problems that I've got, you know, which are almost strictly financial. But I can help him, and so can you. Because he needs donations too, just probably just as much as I do. And if you've got PayPal, you can donate by jdallastexas@hotmail.com. That's J-A-Y, Dallas, Texas, one word, @hotmail.com. This is PayPal account. So you go to paypal.com, say send money. Type in the email address jdallastexas@hotmail.com. Send them $100. All right. I want at least one person out of this broadcast to send James $100. Okay. And preferably 10 people send him $100. Give him $1,000. Give him a Christmas present. Give him something. Right. Because he's out there. He's doing the exposing of Freemasonry like nobody has ever done in the entirety of fracking history. He's breaking new ground, and this evil cabal is really centered upon this secretive group of scumbaggery that threatens to destroy everything about all of our lives that we enjoy, our families, our sanity, our spirituality. Everything won't be there anymore unless you take personal responsibility to help those who need your help most and need it poignantly right here, right now. That's the point that I really wanted to stress to people, essentially.
Thank you. I mean, Vinny, that almost makes me want to tear up. Thank you. And to anybody listening, yes, anybody that the Masons try and say that, you know, I'm doing this for the glitz and the glamour. That's funny because, I mean, I've pretty much given up everything I had. My house, being close to my loved ones, personal possessions, the list goes on and on. I mean, I'm living practically like a gypsy. I'm hiding in the mountains, for God's sake. I mean, how much worse does this get? But I'm going to, you know, nothing's going to stop me. Nothing is going to stop me from doing this. I firmly believe now I have a role to fulfill. I'm the only one who's willing to come out from the inside and attempt to bring these people to justice. Now, thanks to me, for the first time in history, they're being investigated by the FBI. And, you know, I hope they can account for some of the things they've done, because there's going to be hell to pay. So, and that starts with the word getting out. More people need to know. Most people know what Freemasons are, but what you get spoon-fed on the History Channel, I'm sorry, folks, not correct. That's the Mary Poppins version, and pretty far from the truth. And I've experienced that in its entirety. I mean, I was born into an Illuminist family, groomed for that role, abused, and then cast out like the trash. And now, you know, my life is all about exposing it. So it's not a normal life. I've accepted that. But I'm not going to rest until I see some sort of justice brought down on these people. I mean, they've been responsible for some of the greatest conspiracies of our time. Ones that are now not even conspiracy, things that are now out, public record, declassified information. You always have a Masonic Scottish Rite hand in it, in the cookie jar. So people must realize that it's them. You want to know who your Illuminati is? The Supreme Council, Washington, D.C., there they are, hiding in plain sight, pointing the fingers at the Bilderbergers and the Skull and Bones and all that, which, of course, are very real. Yeah, but those are all gateways to the bigger picture, the 33rd degree, that precious end of the road where they're all patting each other on the back as gods. It's just disgusting.
Well, they've lost their humanity. And what's really scary about somebody who's lost their humanity is they wind up having an exerting capacity to influence humanity while having none themselves. It's like a vampire has no blood of their own, so they need to take yours.
Yes, and there's never enough, is there?
They just keep needing to kill and take every single day just in order to maintain normality for them.
Well, the part I can't understand is this attitude of theirs, the Hotel California thing that I can check out but never leave, and that I'm their personal property. They have told me I am their property. And, you know, we all know about MK Ultra, and, you know, I've obviously, even on your show, quoted that passage by former Sovereign Grand Commander Henry Clausen, where he freely openly wrote about, yes, they fund and research mind control and behavior manipulation programs, so do the Soviets, blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, I was their little mind control slave for years, and the programming broke. They don't know how to fix it. They want me to come back to headquarters to be punished and reprogrammed and all that, sort of do a Britney Spears on me, and, you know, it's not going to happen. So,
right, speaking of things that are not happening, we're trying to bring up Charlie McGrath. So AFR, if you're still at the board, just check the messages that I've sent you there and bring up Charlie McGrath with us, because I'd like to get his take on this as well. And his show will be starting after ours. And I you know what, James, I don't know what to say, and I don't know what to do. But I'm just going to keep doing stuff and saying stuff anyway, you know. And eventually, maybe we'll figure out a way to expose these scum and take them out. I mean, having the FBI investigating Freemasonry, I mean, you know, that's never happened before, has it? You know, we're breaking new ground here, and so there is no rules that currently apply. It's sort of like how some people tell you, oh, you need to tell the truth in this way, or you need to present yourself in that way, and da, 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 da. It's like, bro, has anybody ever passed you a handbook that says the truth of handbook? This is how to act, this is how to be, this is how to do it. Or have you just kind of said to yourself, you know what, whatever the hell is going on right now is really wrong, so I'm just going to do the direct opposite of that, and then you wind up being correct.
Well, if I had the money, I would be with a bullhorn right in front of that Supreme Council in Washington, D.C. right now, doing the full-blown activist, truther, Occupy, the whole nine yards, but right now I'm stuck in the mountains. But, you know, Vinny, I was listening to some of your recent shows, and one that really, really struck a nerve and resonated with me was your interview with Tila Tequila. It sounds like she and I have had some similar experiences, where hers were out in Hollywood. You know, mine were in an Illuminati family, but some of the things she said, you know, I know the girl's telling the truth, because she couldn't have possibly have known what some of the things she was saying with, you know, based on some of the things I've lived through. So maybe she and I should compare notes one time, because, I mean, it's everywhere. They have, you know, made their way into virtually everything that affects us as humans in a day, whether that's entertainment, music, the symbology that we see all around us in the cities. It's crazy, you know, and they just love it. And I mean, right now I'm kind of in survival mode, so you'll have to forgive me. I'm not in my like deep thinker mode like I usually am, but you know, I'm just working on getting this book finished. I'm going to vet them till my dying breath, and that's going to be a long way away, because I am definitely not suicidal. I'm madder than I've ever been, and you're right. You hit the nail on the head. You called me correctly. I am pretty fragile. They obviously exploited a weakness just now, and you know, but I've got to keep pulling myself up by my bootstraps and continue. Otherwise, they win.
Well, you know how iron is not the strongest metal known. But if you heat it up and you keep bashing it, it eventually turns itself into steel.
Yes.
And that's what's happening to you right now, bro. You're that ball of iron that is being heated up and bashed around, and you're becoming stronger minute by minute. Everything that they do to you serves only to work in the direct opposite fashion for which they would wish it. I'm going to attack him to weaken him. Oh, well, man, when I attack him, he gets stronger. What do we do now? Because the only thing that we've got in our fracking arsenal is attacking people, and it ain't working. So, and then they start to get afraid, because now they don't know what to do.
Right? Well,
this is what backfiring and stirring up the hornet's nest is really personifying here for you, I think.
True, and speaking of iron, being up here in the mountains and on a ranch, I'm living off well water, which is very high in iron, and I'm no longer on fluoridated, you know, city water, so that's a plus. And in the midst of all this chaos happening, and what happened with that guy and trying to flee San Marcos and all that, I get a letter from New Falcon, my publisher, saying that I'm now they negotiated some deal, so I'm now a guaranteed in-stock author in all Barnes & Nobles worldwide. So that was a bit of good news in the midst of, you know, everything falling apart the day it did. So, you know, things are looking up. I'm trying to keep as much of an optimistic attitude as I can, given the circumstances. And they're not going to win. I mean, they may have me down right now, but you know what? Truth always triumphs. It may take a while, but it's going to come out. And like I said, the gloves are off now. I've been going about this very PC, very reserved and with, you know, dignified composure and everything. And I'm not saying I'm about to start acting like a, you know, hooligan, but I'm definitely going to start speaking now on a much more direct and damning level that I hope makes them run for the hills, much like I've had to do.
Mm-hmm. And your position at the EU as a diplomat, is that still going?
Yeah, that's still going. It's kind of an off season right now. Not much going on there, but you know, they still stand firm on that think tank I work on about the Scottish Rite needs to be forced to shut down any political or lobbying ties anywhere in politics on the planet, certainly within their reach. A lot of European governments are getting pretty tired of infiltrators and being told what to do. I'm not saying that they're, you know, all good people and perfect themselves, but, you know, it's the secret society stuff. JFK spoke out about it. George Washington tried to warn the world about the Illuminati way back when and the founding of America, you know, and it's just continued and continued. And the Morgan Affair almost wiped them out of existence, but, you know, they went underground for 100 years in private mansions in the Carolinas and came back out as this wonderful new reborn Scottish Rite that's just so lovely and, everybody just love it and we love children and blah, blah, blah. And it's just a string of lies. And yes, of course, there's a lot of good men involved, but those good men never really make it into those inner chambers of the Supreme Council and consequently don't see what really goes on and what they're really supporting. So,
I was just thinking about, like, they call themselves the right, you know, like R-I-T-E. And I was just thinking, you know, you just delete the R and then it comes up as Scottish Rite.
Yeah, the Fourth Reich. That's what they would like to be. I mean, they do have their own private military called the Knights of St. Anne.
Yeah. Well, hold on. We kind of cut off quickly by the break here. After the break, hopefully we'll have Charlie McGrath from Whitebank, who's joining us for just the final segment. And hopefully James will be able to stick. Listen to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Please go there and donate me some cash to get me through Christmas. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to the final segment of today's show. I'm here with my very special guest, James Wright. Charlie is just resetting his computer because he couldn't hear us at all, so we'll be bringing him up in a matter of moments. And AFR will stay on the ball, be on the clock, like the good, extremely talented producers and technically skilled people that they are. And I want to reiterate, I need somebody to donate $100, US dollars, to James Wright. jdallastexas@hotmail.com, jdallastexas@hotmail.com. Give him some cash, give him a Christmas present, you know, send him a bottle of malt liquor, or some cigarettes, or something. Just getting through the days can be really harsh for a truther. And it's just like, I don't know, we ride together or we die together. You know what I'm saying, bro? It's like you, nobody can do this all on their own. It's not possible. I mean, I do the shows and all this stuff on my own and do the editing and what have you, but I'm ultimately at the mercy of my audience. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for donating. Thank you for all of those people who donate monthly, the little $5 a month subscriber fee, and you get the commercial-free archives. And I am cognizant of the fact that without you, I wouldn't be able to do any of this stuff allegedly by myself, because I'm not. And that's the problem with us as a movement. We all think we're alone when we're not. We all think we're isolated when we're surrounded by our allies. And I think that is a deliberate agenda to get us depressed so that we will stop doing things of our own accord. You know what I'm saying? What do you think, James?
Yeah. Oh, yes. And donations will help. It's to the point now where, I mean, I need the money to be able to Kinko's hundreds of evidence going into the next script of the book. So, I mean, yeah, it's times are tough.
Mm-hmm. Now, I believe Charlie McGrath has just joined us. Charlie, are you there?
I'm here. I'm here on my second-rate laptop because my other one's giving me fits, and I know we're rapidly running out of time, so I didn't want to just say hello and then end the program.
Yeah. We just arrived and now we're going. Thank you very much for listening.
I don't know what happened with this other one, but it's giving me fits right now.
All right. Well, have you got anything special to talk about today, Charlie? Because I wanted to reiterate that Charlie has hooked me up with the sponsors by Emergency Foods. There's banners there on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And if you want to support Charlie, you know, just go ahead and support them. Other than that, his show Wide Awake News is after my show every day, five days a week, Monday through Friday on the Rents Radio Network. And it's a damn fine show, if I might say so.
That's very kind of you, say, Vinny. No, Chris Atkins, Atkin has done a great job supporting alternative media. He supports your program, mine, several others, and I go on and do some spokesman work for those guys. And you know, we've covered it on your program before, but you know, it is the holiday season, and you know, I see a lot of people spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars on iPods or iPads or the new iPhone or getting some kind of gadget or trinket for their kid that is going to be, you know, a piece of junk within 6 months. And I just want to give the message out there that you know, for $300, right, $300, which isn't even going to buy you a decent smartphone, it seems like. You can put you know, a couple months worth of calories away in the closet that'll be there for 25 years if need be. And with the direction the planet's going, Vinny, I don't think there's a better investment right now. Be mentally prepared for what's coming. That's always number one. Number two, food, water, and a way to protect yourself is mandatory.
Mm-hmm. And also, Charlie, I want to make a request, and I don't know what kind of etiquette it is here on this radio show, but I was wondering if you'd be able to get James on your show at some point to talk about Freemasonry and all that. I'm not sure if that's so much of your area of expertise.
James, I see him in Skype here. James, have you been on with? Is James on now with us?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you been on with Karen Tostado before on Wide Awake News Radio? Has she had you on as a guest? I thought I've seen your name in the lineup before.
Yeah, she has.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you betcha. I'd love to have him on my program as well. I mean, Karen, as you know, does the Friday, the 2 hour Friday, Karen's Corner, but you bet. Love to get you on, James.
Thank you. I'd love to be on. Yeah, Karen and I had a blast. She's great.
Yeah, a matter of fact, as soon as we're done, I'll send her a message, and she's going to accuse me of stealing her guest in a joking way, of course. But I'll get her to schedule it because she does all the scheduling for the program too. I'll get her to schedule you on Wide Awake News Radio. No problem.
Excellent. I appreciate that.
I'm happy to have you. Happy to have you back, I should say.
And see. And also for those of you listening, this is how I operate. I take two people that I like, hook them up together, and they go off and they do cool stuff together, and they don't need me anymore.
We'll always need you, Vinny. I like your new background, by the way, and your new hairdo. You're looking sharp.
I know. Sharper than a sharper than the wit of Dick Cheney at a benefit gala.
Yeah.
Sharper than Dick. Anyway, I mean, we've only got a few more minutes left in the show, and I know it's Christmas, it's the holiday season, and I wanted to know just kind of on a personal basis what we're all doing, and I'm hopefully going to be cruising up to see my my sister and the rest of my family's all cruising up there as well to her little farm up north, and we're gonna drink, and we're gonna eat, and we're gonna catch up on stuff and what have you. I'm gonna be called a conspiracy theorist. It's gonna be great.
Yeah.
What about you, Charlie?
Well, you know what? I'm not 100% sure. Listen, all the programs I've done and videos I've done, I've never been one to throw out a prediction. But and I'm not buying into the whole Mayan into the world thing. But I truly think, you know, I'm going to stay close to home because I'm not 100% sure we're going to escape this year without a major, major market crash and without a major, major false flag event or, you know, some kind of patriotic invasion of another nation. I still think we could see a lot of turmoil between now and the end of the year. So I'm sticking close to home. I'm not going to travel over that time period. For between now and the end of the year, I'm going to try not to travel anywhere, and I'm just going to hang with the people I care about, my family.
Yeah, chill with your homeboys.
Chill with my homies. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Or if you happen to be in Canada with garden gnomes, you'd be chilling with your gnomies. And James, what about you, James?
Well, I'll be spending the holidays with my friends out here in the mountains. It's too dangerous for me to go back into Dallas, and even if it wasn't, one of those things I had to sacrifice in doing all this was my family. We are heavily Masonic, have been forever since time goes back. And when I published the book, that's when my aunt came to me as the family matriarch and said, we want nothing more to do with you. You've embarrassed us beyond belief. So I do not spend holidays with family anymore. Can't.
You know what you should do, bro? You should give them a lump of coal.
Well, I'm good friends, and I always have a good time anyway. So, you know, life's what you make it.
No doubt.
It really is. And in terms of the Christmas period, here's a couple of things. December 21st, 2012 is a Friday, and it will be the last day of bank trading for the year. Isn't that interesting? December 24th, the following Monday after the weekend is Christmas Eve, and on that same day, it'll actually be the time for the 100-year renewal of the Federal Reserve Act.
That's right. That's right.
Around Christmas time, when nobody's around, and especially the Congress and the Senate and all of that kind of stuff. So I can guarantee you, all of the worst legislation that has ever fracked the United States beyond belief has been passed around Christmas time. So that's what you can look forward to, ladies and gentlemen. Another renewal of the 100-year lease of the Federal Reserve on the U.S. economy. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, wrap that up and put it in a bow. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, that is the renewal period, and it's going to happen. Not only is it going to happen, you know, we're going to use the fiscal cliff. You know, the fiscal cliff guarantees this is going to happen, right? This debate about the fiscal cliff, and they're going to take care of something that they wanted to take care of in 1913, which is they're going to take any decision making power of the people away from them. This is why we see the talk nonstop now about getting rid of the debt ceiling, right? We've always had it. We've always had it in this country since the inception of the United States. Congress has controlled the purse of the United States. And, so we see nonstop propaganda now that we have to – it's destroying our economy. It's destroying our future by having Congress have the ability to put in a check on our debt ceiling. And, people are going to buy this. They're going to buy it. And like you said, Vinny, Christmas will come. We'll get a deal. I'm doing air quotes here. A deal that is going to sink this country even further into poverty and misery,
like a drug deal.
Yeah.
Having to be a crack dealer in a Harlem neighborhood, guys. Thank you very much for joining me today, Charlie. Especially, I know we didn't have much time with you today, but we're going to have you on again next year when I've got some schedule time free for you. And I can't wait to hear you interview James as well on your show. So, gentlemen,
sending Karen a message right now, James.
Right. So, I understand that this has been said many, many times to the point where it almost doesn't mean anything. But guys, seriously, keep up the good work. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. I desperately need your donations and subscriptions right now in order to pay my rent this week. So please go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and click on the Donate Now button. We'll see you again sometime.